When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome, everyone, to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. Thank you so much for listening. We have an excellent episode this week. Dan Orlovsky from ESPN joins the show. Dan was great on a mix of NFL things with free agency going wild this week and a million signings. Did a little bit of that in the draft. And then we do a lot of sports media, Dan's career. Appreciate Dan being very honest about his role, his stature, his goals, good stuff there. Get into some of Dan's funny food takes and just overall sports media business stuff with Orlovsky. So he was great. Following Dan Orlovsky, Sal Akada joins me as he does every week for Train of Thoughts. And before we get to it, just a quick reminder, we had ESPN legend Bob Lee on the podcast last week and WFAN CBS Sports Network host Greg Giannotti from the Boomer and Geo show 2 weeks ago. So if you missed either of those episodes, go into the archives, check them out. Bob Lee last week, Greg Giannotti 2 weeks ago. And make sure you subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Traina. And if you could leave a review on Apple, we greatly appreciate that. All right, we have Dan Orlovsky from ESPN, a little NFL, a little sports media, followed by Sal Akada and Traina Thoughts for you right here, right now on SI Media with Jimmy Traina. All right, join me now. Appreciate him coming on because the NFL has taken center stage this week and he breaks it all down. It seems nonstop 24/7 for ESPN. He is Dan Orlovsky. Dan, how's it going?
What's going on, bud? It's going good. You know, it's so, you know, for my job, when we get done with the Super Bowl, it's like as much as I adore football and love football, you're like, whew. You know, because the season is such a marathon. And then all of a sudden, you're in the middle of marching for agencies here. So it's good to be busy and kind of seeing all the wheels in motion for the NFL.
There's definitely no break, it seems like, for the NFL until maybe a little later in the summer because now the draft will be coming up. So
yeah. It's funny. I never paid attention to it as a player. But as I've gotten into this business – I think one of the things that I became aware of, and then honestly I've gained a great appreciation for, is how much the NFL strategically owns the calendar. You know, like they have done a phenomenal job of seasons over in middle of February, and then there's like a week break, and all of a sudden back into February, you're at the combine. And then there's really no break in the middle of March as we are right now. You're in NFL free agency, and maybe back end of March, first week of April, it's quieter, and then full speed ahead through the month of April for the draft. And then after the draft, it's the month of May has all the mini camps and all the new bodies there. And so it's very strong in May. And then June and July are kind of quiet. And then August, it's full speed ahead.
Yeah. You left out. I mean, well, there are before, I think it's before the draft, they usually come out with the
schedule.
Or maybe it's the schedule, which is like,
yep, you're right,
as big as all this other stuff, which is crazy.
Yeah. They own the calendar. It's very strategic.
Yeah. I always say the NFL rules the country. It's crazy. And you seem like you rule the airwaves. I mean, it seems like you're on nonstop. I'm just curious before we get into some of the, like this signings and stuff. Like, what is the Dan Orlovsky schedule these days? Like, when are your days off? What shows are you on? I mean, it seems like you do a million podcasts. You're on McAfee. Like, what is the? I don't care if it takes you like 20 minutes. Give me the Dan Orlovsky schedule. I need it.
I'll give you the season, and then I'll give you kind of the out of season because they're a little different. You know, like in season.
Yeah.
You know, like,
well, give me now because I'm curious about because right in season I get it. Yeah.
So right now, so I only try to work like 2 or 3 days a week post Super Bowl. A couple reasons why, and I remember going to Seth Markman probably 3 or 4 years ago here at ESPN, and just going to Seth after, you know, I work every day during the season, 7 days a week nonstop, travel, all that, and I said, Seth, I have to take some form of a breather, you know, in the off season. And his initial reaction, because I don't know if that's necessarily how it's always been done, was a little bit like, well, and I was like, Seth, there's no way that I could try to be the best in the world and on as much as I am during the season if I don't pull back a little bit. And I was like, I need to recalibrate mentally. So that was that. And then also I told him, like, I also think people need a break for me. You know, when you're on all the time, you know, at some point people are like, oh, it's that person again. So I think just being conscious of that. So like 2 or 3 days a week. For me, I live in Connecticut. I live directly in between Bristol, which is where the main campus is, as you know, and then New York City, which is where GetUp and First Take are traditionally from. And so living here, it's easy for me. And I tell them, hey, if I'm working, I got no problem going a full day because, again, always honest here, like if Mike Greenberg wants me on and in studio, I'm going to go be on an in studio because Greeny, you know, was one of the first people that gave me a chance. If Stephen A. Smith wants me on and in studio, I'm going to make the effort to go be on and in studio. And so if I have to go to New York and Bristol on those days, it is what it is. You know, that's just the nature of the job. And so I try to tell them I'd rather work, you know, two or three full days a week than kind of sporadic moments of five. So I'm on GetUp, First Take. I'll hit Sports Centers, NFL Live, 6 o'clock Sports Center. So when I'm on, I have no issue kind of making it a full day.
So right now you're doing 2 or 3 days. That's it on TV.
Yeah. Two or three days. Yep. Two or three days. And then really like that second or third week of April, it'll be every day for a 2 or 3 week stretch, you know, going into the draft.
And in season, 7 days a week, no day off.
7 days a week, no day off, because Sunday you're watching games and then Sunday night is rewatching games to get ready for Monday morning shows. Monday on, Tuesday on, Wednesday on, Thursday on, Friday on. And then Friday night or Saturday is often either working the ABC college show with Kevin and Boog or flying to a Monday night football game. So, yeah.
That's wild. That's a lot. And you... Yeah. You do a lot of interviews. It seems like you're very in demand. Do you try to just say yes to everything? Do you try to be, I mean, you said yes to me right away, so I don't think you try to be that discriminate, but like you know, I know McAfee, obviously no one's saying no to McAfee. It's like, you know, the hottest show you can be on right now, but
correct. I'll never say no to Pat.
Yeah. I mean, are you getting requests almost every day to be on some show, to be on shows and podcasts?
Yeah. Yeah. And I try, like, honestly, Jimmy, my viewpoint is it's obviously very flattering that they're asking you. And, you know, I'm thankful for it. I've learned to say no. I've learned to hit up Derek Vollner, who's been great for PR here, and be like, hey, Derek, you know, you have to be honest about it. Where is this one? Yes, do it. You know, it's up to your own discretion. You know, I think you could try to push this one off a little bit. So I try to say yes. But I also, like, I'm a father of four, as well, you know?
Right.
So it's trying to make sure that I'm not losing sight of the most important stuff as well.
You have triplets, right?
I have triplet 12-year-old boys and an 8-year-old daughter. So, you know, and they're just getting into, you know, our spring is the nuts time of our life with all their kids' sports, and I adore it and I coach it. So, you know, a lot of times if I'm in the car, you know, like I try to knock it out in the car or something like that. But yeah, busy life.
Do the triplets get along, or are there a lot of situations where it's like two against one?
Yeah, it's a lot of situations where it's two against one. It's a lot of situations where they get along, and it's a lot of situations where none of them get along, you know, and they're at that. We've tried to always be conscious of it, like allowing them to have their own identity. They're very much so like starting to form it even more so now. So it's, you know, you try to be aware of like, hey, stop being idiots to each other while also being like, nah, you know, you kind of let them kind of create their own path and create their own identity. And okay, if they want to, this one wants to be this way and this one wants to be that way, that's who they are.
When you had triplets, did you try to like it's so rare. Did you try to like seek out other families or parents that have triplets? Like it's such a unique thing. It's like gotta be tough to navigate, I would think it sometimes. But you know, it's funny. I've had Roman Reigns from the WWE in this podcast a bunch of times, and he has two different sets of twins, which I think if I was power ranking, I think two sets of twins would be just above triplets on the wild side.
I don't think we sought out anybody in that regard. You know, my wife is she was one of those women. If you asked her, what's the number one thing you want to be in the world? It was a mom. So she thrives in that environment. I always wanted to be a dad too. So I try to, and always have tried to be relatively hands-on. I think we paid attention to some people being like, hey, you know, get them on the same schedule or, you know, first grade, let them separate to get into their own classes so they, you know, create their own lives, back to kind of what I was just saying. So we didn't seek anyone out. We just kind of figured it out along the way.
With the boys being 12, are they like, do they still think like it's super cool that dad is on ESPN all the time, or are they over it?
No, they think it's super cool, like in moments, you know, like, hey, sixth grade crush, you know, like, hey, my dad's on ESPN, or like when they're at a sporting game. And my son was playing in a game last weekend, and some of the kids were like, oh, you're Dan Orlovsky's son. And so that makes him feel good. And I always like put him in check with it and be like, you got to go create your own name and whatnot. And honestly, like one of the highlights of my year this year was, it's funny, nowadays kids like think it's completely okay to talk trash to adults. And so they've got all their friends, and I love their friends. Yeah. But, you know, like the passing at the Pro Bowl, the precision passing for me with that, like I walked around and showed all their friends. And I was like, all you little chumps that want to try to talk some trash to me, like until you can beat me, shut up. So that was like a fun moment.
Yeah. But listen, I think even if you carve out a path for yourself, if your dad's on TV, it's always going to be a thing. Like TV is such a thing in this country. We're just so mesmerized by TV. So even in the age of streaming, I shouldn't say TV, but if you know your dad's on a screen, I should say, I guess.
No, they like it. They like it.
Yeah, yeah. I don't do a ton of like hardcore sports here, but we just had like two completely insane days in the NFL, and I thought it was. So I loved it. I thought it was, I mean, those signings coming fast and furious as an NFL fan. I loved it. I almost feel like it's interesting. The NFL, you know, we mentioned the schedule earlier, like the NFL knows how to make such a big deal out of everything and make it such an event. I feel like they might need to make the last 2 days more of a thing. Like you guys are all on TV and, you know, Schefter's breaking every signing and then you got the analysis. But like, I almost feel like it should be a bigger thing. But, I thought it was really fun. Give me, off the top of your head, I'm putting you on the spot, three best signings from the last, we're taping this on Wednesday, so from the last 2 days.
Sure.
Monday and Tuesday.
I agree. I think one of the things the NFL needs to do is just start it on Monday. You know, the tampering period, all that, just start for agency on Monday, have people come off the weekend from it. I'd say this, the best signing has been Kirk Cousins to Atlanta. And I don't want to misrepresent who Kirk Cousins is as a player, but Atlanta as a roster and all those young, talented players that they have on the offensive side of the football have been and were going to be wasted unless they answered the question at quarterback. And again, Kirk is not going to walk in and all of a sudden become Matthew Stafford, but he's going to give them a chance to win the division and get in. And with that young and improved defense and that offensive talent and Drake London, like if you don't get the quarterback, not only are you wasting the quarterback, but you're wasting all the other young talent that you've invested those draft picks in. And that's what's held them back. And they have four picks in the top 80 as well, Atlanta. So I still think that signing is massive. I know everyone thinks I'm crazy, but Russell Wilson, number two, mainly because of the cost. I mean, Russell's $1 million. That's absurd. And if Russell Wilson just plays the way he did last year, next year in Pittsburgh will absolutely be playing meaningful games in December within that division and a chance to win it and certainly have a playoff spot on the line because the team is still really solid and obviously Mike Tomlin. I think the third biggest one I'll say Saquon going to Philadelphia. You know, when the Giants took Saquon Barkley at number two, I was like, bad, not a great move, just because they weren't ready to support that position. Jimmy, what we in the NFL, we often say that the quarterback is a dependent position. You know, like the quarterback is going to be, so is running back. You know, the running back is, you can only do so much when no one is blocking for you. And so, like, when Saquon's in New York and he's getting the ball and there's nowhere to go, it's going to be a completely different world for him in Philadelphia. His job has never been easier. And I still think that because of the way he trains, the character, like, he is a tremendous physical talent and he is going to experience stuff that he never has. And I think you're going to see Saquon. I honestly believe this. Saquon can go for, stay healthy, play majority of the season. I think you're looking at a guy that can push like 1,700 total yards.
Wow. That would be huge. Yeah. You know, it's interesting as Monday into Tuesday unfolded and there are a million signings and everyone analyzing, breaking it down. You just did it here, talking about Russ and Kirk Cousins. I kept having the same thought in my head over and over throughout the day. It was like, none of this matters as long as Patrick Mahomes is alive. Like it feels like, yeah. It just feels like, and you know, they re-signed Chris Jones and it's just, how do you see them getting dethroned as long as he's around? It's gotta be frustrating for the other teams. I mean, listen, I think the Bills are at the point of frustration. I don't think the Bengals are there yet because Burrow got hurt, but sure. These windows close very fast.
Yeah.
You know, the Bills have to be really scared.
Stick to
right
their
now.
Stomach. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Not it, in many ways, the Bills lost to that same team twice in ways that you were like, no way. Because obviously, a couple years ago, 13 seconds overtime. And then this past year, you know, the deep ball to Stephon Diggs, you know, when you've seen him make some of those catches, you know, routinely. And if he makes that catch, they win that game in many ways. So, the Bills, and when you see the talent that has to go out because of the salary cap and the way it's moved and guys want to get paid, yeah, and their drafts have not been spectacular. You know, I think that's one of the things that has allowed Kansas City to stay afloat is while they pay Patrick and Chris and some other people and they go on that run, they've drafted so well. And not only first round, but fourth, fifth, sixth round picks. And you know, it's Kansas City just has the perfect model right now of, you know, I don't want to say it's the carbon copy of New England, but Patrick is underpaid to what he's worth. Probably not in the same vein as Tom was. They have a coach that knows exactly how to go about things. Their staff is tremendous. You know, that's one of the things that gets forgotten about New England is how good the staff was. Whether they went and did good places stuff elsewhere is irrelevant. And you know, I also say this, like, you know, Baltimore had every chance to beat Kansas City last year. Buffalo had every chance to beat Kansas City and they didn't. So I still think that it's not a shoo-in Kansas City goes back, but to go through him, you're gonna have to catch some breaks that you haven't so far.
You know, speaking of the Chiefs, this just came to me while you were speaking, and obviously you played in the league for a while, so you'd be perfect to get a take on this. They had the Players Association survey come out a few weeks ago. Yeah. And I think Clark Hunt got an F or ranked last or something. So what do you make of that when you have a team that's won three Super Bowls here?
Yeah, that was my initial reaction because I was on First Take the following day after it came out and they were like, good sign or bad sign. And I was like, guys, they've gone to six straight AFC championship games. You know, and so the I remember being in the league and everyone was, you know, sometimes you play for an organization. Like I'll give you this perfect example. And this is just the honesty part of it. Like I played down in Tampa Bay. The experience was great when it comes to the ownership and the way they treated our families and the, you know, the everyday experience and the facility was tremendous. And the game day was great. My wife had, our triplets were 8 months old at that point, 9 months old, and they would take care of her and whatnot. We won like three games, you know, so you sit there sometimes as a player and you go, well, I'd rather, you know, win 11 or 12 games and get into the playoffs than you have, you know, free childcare for my family or whatnot. So you know, as a player, at some point you get to, I've made my money more than likely what I'm going to make. Now I want to be on at a place that I'm going to work every day that's good and we're winning. You know, and so I think it changes for every guy at some point for his career. It's like how much you really value certain things in comparison to like, you know, I've been on a losing team 8 years in a row. I just want to have, you know, games on December that matter. So.
Right. Yeah, I thought that was more surprising than all the other stuff that ended up coming out in that survey.
Yeah.
How seriously do players take that survey?
I don't think a ton. So it's a lot like I remember voting for the Pro Bowl and voting for the top 100. And listen, you spend so much time at the facility. The last thing you want to do is spend more time at the facility doing something that doesn't really have a ton of relevancy to wins and losses. So you'd get together. Right, what do you guys think? You know, you're just filling stuff out. So, you know, I can't speak to exactly how much time that was put into it, but I do think it's something that guys are just, yeah, whatever, you know, you're just going through it.
Yeah. Let me ask you one thing about the draft and we'll talk about some media stuff. I guess you made a lot of headlines because you pumped up Jalen Daniels, which I didn't see anything wrong with that take. I watched him play a lot at LSU. I think the guy's great. Then obviously now there's some negative narratives going on about Caleb Williams, which the one thing that struck me just as an NFL fan, you know, because I think with something like this, there's so many different ways you're coming at it. You're coming at it. You played, you're an analyst. You have the fans, there's different. The only thing that gave me pause was when he wouldn't take or do any medical stuff. I guess he wouldn't take a physical or wouldn't go through any. Now you hear that. Now, I don't know. I would assume if it's coming out that he's not doing it, that every player does it, but you just hear he wouldn't do that. And I don't know how you hear that and not have a flag go up. So what do we make of that?
Yeah, I think that I don't know Caleb at all outside of, you know, spending 5 minutes with him at the upfronts last year. But from everything you hear, he kind of marches to the beat of his own drum, whether you think that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think teams are going to pay attention to what he did at the combine or what he didn't do. And some teams it'll be rubbed the wrong way and some teams won't care at all. And that's just, it's going to be indifferent. I think the theory behind him not doing the physical is he's very aware that, you know, he's probably going to be at worst top two, top three picks. So there's only so many teams that could draft him. And, you know, with the individual workouts and the visits, you know, if you're going to be one of those teams, you're going to have the opportunity to do that physical. So I can understand the premise of it. And so I think there's going to be teams that think it's a big deal or whatnot. I said, you know, in relation to the him and Caleb and Jaden thing, Jimmy, the reason I said I would take Jaden, one, it wasn't a negative on Caleb. It was more after, you know, so I called Jaden's games early 2 years ago at LSU, early on. And I remember sitting there with Brian Kelly, and who's the head coach down there, and being like, he just doesn't trust it right now. And they were honestly contemplating, like, do they bench him? And he was like, we just got to get him confident. And they were trying to figure out some of the other stuff happening with some receivers. But you saw it slowly start. And when I watched this tape this year, there's too many examples of being like, you can just change the jersey and that's what it looks like on Sundays in the NFL. Just change the color jersey. That's what it looks like. Oh, that throw that goes 25 yards across the field and there's a guy trailing on the hip and it's right perfectly out front. I watch guys do that all the time on Sunday. Or, hey, man, that play action pass when you throw the post and you see the backside safety cut and you throw it over the top. Like, that's what I see on Sundays. And, man, what a good athlete that moves around and goes and makes some plays. And with Caleb, unbelievably talented, you just don't have a ton of examples. Two things of what it looks like on Sundays. You just don't, and you watch him run around and make a ton of great plays. You just don't have a ton of examples of like what real life in Sundays looks like over the course of a couple years. And then, you know, Al Golden, who's the defensive coordinator at Notre Dame, has ties to the NFL. He's spent time in the NFL. When you watch that game, at least I said, man, threw some NFL defensive looks at him. And you don't love that tape. And so that's why it wasn't a knock on Caleb necessarily. It was more like this Jaden kid's just starting to become who he really is.
Yeah, yeah. I actually liked your take from watching both of them play. But again, I have no credibility. I'm just a fan. But I saw it and I'm like, I don't know. Jaden Williams looks to me like he can be a NFL quarterback, Caleb Williams. I, like you said, I don't know. I saw things that would have me worried too, but
yeah,
I think with quarterback, I don't know. I, this is just me as a fan. Again, I don't know the X's and O's and the schemes and this and cover two. And I just, to me with quarter, when I sort of judge quarterbacks, if you're doing a, if you're making a lot of great throws and even if you're flashy and all that, but you make mistakes, that is just like, that cancels it out. So
sure,
a guy like Caleb Williams, I don't, you know, to me is, I think, a question mark going into the NFL. But again, I have no credibility on it. I'm just giving my opinion.
Yeah. I just think like, we've inverted quarterback scouting just a little bit. You know, we've fallen in love with the runaround, you know, make something out of nothing plays. And, you know, while that is a necessity nowadays to be elite,
right,
it doesn't mean that it has to be the forefront of your game.
Right.
And I think that's right now, Caleb, it is.
Well, that's, you know, when you look at guys like Mahomes and Brady, and Mahomes obviously way flashier than Brady because he has the whole running element to his game, which Tom never had. But when they, you know, when Mahomes has to throw a 10-yard pass to Kelsey, he never fails. When he has to throw a check down out of the, he never fails. Yeah, like, so give me all that over a guy who can take off and run a couple of times a game. Like, I don't know. That's just the way I look at
yeah,
quarterback
sure.
play. Let's switch over to some sports media stuff in your career. Is calling games the ultimate goal for you? Because I know you do. You, this year, ESPN / ABC had 4 Monday night doubleheaders. You were part of that crew this year with Fowler and Rick. I would assume doing games is that. I mean, if you had to do games and give up what you do, NFL Live and that stuff, would you make that trade off if it was a, you know, every week in and out thing?
I would try to do both. As much as I can, as long as I can. I think I'm capable of it. Again, I had the benefit of living here. So for me to be able to do that stuff, I'm still at my home and seeing my family. I don't have to get on a plane and whatnot. The ultimate goal, you know, I'm 5 or 6 years into this. I used to get asked that question and I would answer, I don't know, because I felt like it was a moving target. I think the ultimate goal for me right now is, yeah, I want to call one of the premier games in the NFL. That is now something that is very much so at a focus of mine. I think the second thing is I want to be a part of what's, you know, obviously here at ESPN, what's really important to ESPN football wise, you know, whatever that show gets deemed by, you know, Jimmy and Burke and Seth, like, and Norby, like whatever shows that they deem or properties they deem are important, I want to be a part of them and on them. I still like the everyday stuff, though. You know, I do. I love being able to kind of talk about stuff that maybe you don't on games. So, yeah, but certainly those big games or the big game is something that is surely a focus of mine.
Do you think – have you seen any evidence of this? Do you feel this? And I'm going to be careful here not to pull a Mad Dog Russo. But do you think – there is any bias against you? Because the people who have the top jobs, Aikman, Romo, Collinsworth, had a certain level in the NFL, whereas you, not a Hall of Famer, were in the league a long time. But do you think even in the broadcasting world that translates to where there's a bias against you for and preventing you from being the top announcer for a network?
I think there certainly was at the beginning. I think there still might be some remnants. My viewpoint on it has always been, I've said this to people on social media who I've said that, like, hey, you were a backup, you know, and, or what do you know? And, or I've said this sitting down with meetings, you know, when I have, you know, spent time with, you know, some of the recruiting stuff with networks. And I would say this, you know, to people right now, it's my job to prove that I am capable and worthy of that role. If I haven't, that's on me. If I have it, if you have bias and I haven't erased those bias, that's on me. Now, I think that the body of work of what I've done, both in studio and college games that were relatively big with some of the, you know, the bowl games with the Monday Night Football games, that I would hope that I've erased some of those biases, maybe not all, but some of them, or chopped away at them. And that'll be continue to be my focus is, you know, if there are still some of that out there, continue to prove when the opportunity presents itself, like, that dude's capable. Like the way I look at it, I've called, you know, almost 10 Monday night football games right now for ESPN and ABC. It's not a ton bigger than that, you know? And so, and I feel like our crew has handled it well. So, so I'll just keep working at it.
All right. So given what you said there, did you have an opinion when you see that Greg Olsen, who was by all sorts of reviews,
he's great.
Did his job.
Greg is great. Yep.
And he's getting blown out because Tom Brady is Tom Brady. I mean, it's you know, I've tried to explain this to people who read my column or listen to this podcast because this is the stuff I cover. Like Fox is getting in bed with the business of Tom Brady.
Yeah.
That's what he has over Greg Olsen. It's not necessarily about how, you know, one versus the other calling the game.
The game. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So when you see that, do you communicate with Greg at all? Do you say like, oh, this is bullshit? Or you're like, got to hang in there, roll with the punches. I mean, there's nothing he can do about it because again, sure. Like I don't think Fox would make that move for any other person, maybe Peyton Manning, than Tom Brady.
Yeah. I communicate with Greg cause I've known him for so long and I've, you know, so often throughout this really past couple of seasons and probably for the most this season, would send him stuff and been like, hey man, this was great, or love listening to you, or you crushed this, or whatnot. And so we have a good amount of correspondence. I don't touch the job front for him. I think Greg is one, obviously the very best doing it, and you know, belongs at, you know, at one of those big games and whatnot until he says I don't want to do it anymore. So but I also know how the world works, you know, and I know the nature of the business and whatnot, and so I feel for him. My hope is that he gets back to being in a place where he can continue to call that really big game. You know, and until then, it's not necessarily fair, but it's his reality.
Yeah. Let me transition to this here. You seem to have gotten to a point where you are a headline generator for the blogs, people like me, aggregators, for football and non-football things. People seem to, I guess you put Dan Orlovsky in a headline, there's some traffic. Obviously, we mentioned before, the Jaden Daniels, Caleb thing, you generated a ton of publicity for that. Have you gotten used to making headlines so often these days?
For
football and non-football stuff.
Yeah. Sometimes I have, you know, I was just having a conversation about that with someone the other day. You know, Jimmy, me being again candid here, like I have to be sometimes reminded of it because I'm not in a situation or a position where I could just say anything because it does generate traction and I can't just take words back and whatnot and just pretend like it doesn't happen. So like, I do have to try to be conscious of it, but honestly, like, I love this job. I love it. I love the fact that I get to do it. I have so much fun doing it, and it is absolutely a passion of mine. I just try to, like, dude, I get paid a dumb amount of money to talk about football, you know? And it's like I get to, you know, have relationships with people and friendships with people that I have no business having friendships with people because of my job. So, like sometimes I have to pinch myself about it, but I love doing it. I have a ton of fun doing it. I try to focus on that, do it the right way, be convicted about the things that I'm going to say, do the work before you speak, and it comes with the property.
So when you go viral and there are headlines on all the blogs about you sniffing Molly's shoe and people accusing you of having a foot fetish, do you laugh and have fun with that stuff? Or are you like, okay, this is crazy. What are people doing?
No, I laugh and have fun with it. One, because like Molly had gotten that shoe that morning. It was a brand new shoe that Stephen A. bought her.
Right.
I also don't think me smelling a shoe was weird. Like I smelled a shoe, guys, you know? So, It goes back to like being very comfortable in my own skin. And I don't like, I don't pretend that like, I love to laugh at myself, take my job seriously, right. Take myself not, you know? And so, you know, I think one of the things I've learned as well too is, and this is from watching other people, sometimes good, sometimes bad, is like, I think people at home want to like the people they're watching, you know? And I, the last thing I want is for people at home to watch me and think that I think I'm better than them. I'm just a very normal person that somehow is here, you know, and yeah, laugh a little bit and be immature and just have some fun at times. So I'm okay.
You didn't do anything to dispel the rumor you have a foot fetish. So we'll see what the headlines, what happens.
My feet are disgusting, you know, so no foot fetish.
And then the other thing, obviously, I mentioned Russo before. That was a big deal, which I was inadvertently a part of because you responded to the video that I had tweeted of him calling you a scrub. And then that, and I knew you were very popular, but that blew me away how many people responded because I was tagged on every tweet because you responded to me on Twitter. Sure. But I have to say, and I wrote this and I hope you saw it. I thought it was incredibly classy and I thought you handled it the way everyone should handle it in that you went on his show like a couple of days later and had fun with it. And I think you're the perfect example of like that incident. I felt like, because we've all been there where at first you're like, what the hell is this? You get offended. And then you realize, okay, you know, time passes, you can't, you know, you don't, but I love that you went and it was great. And you busted his balls about it too, which I loved. It was a great spot on his SiriusXM show. So were you surprised that became a big deal?
Yeah, to be honest with you, so many people sent me that clip right when it happened from Mad Dog.
Like, yeah, I know, because I was on all of those.
Yeah, and I had friends like message me with it. And so again, like you know, like I'm offended immediately just because, oh my gosh, my feelings are hurt and you're being sensitive. And then, you know, you kind of cool down and whatnot. My wife was pissed off and whatnot. And then you cool down and, you know, I was surprised it became such a big deal, but I also know Mad Dog is a big deal. Like I know he is. I also think, you know, maybe this is me, you know, with the rose colored glasses or fingers crossed, but I do think part of what we were just speaking about is like, I've tried to remove some of the biases from people. And I do think that, you know, I've tried to gather a reputation of one that's positive. And so people had a little bit of my back in a way, I guess. And so that was, somewhat positive. And then, you know, one of the things I've tried to focus on, and I sent this guy a message not too long ago. I've learned from Marcus Spears, who I work with all the time, and then obviously Big Cat. Big Cat is like, well, sports are still supposed to be fun, and you know, if we could have some fun. Mad Dog making fun of me having fun with Mad Dog back at it. Like, we all, in a way, have a win.
Yeah, I'm a huge Mad Dog guy. I've listened to him for 30 years, so I'm biased and all this. And when I saw it became a thing, I was like, oh, I hate that this is a thing. Because here's the weird thing about Dog, because I know this from knowing him. Like, he totally respects you as an analyst. He's making that other comment just to make a joke. But of course, I mean, who wants to hear that about themselves? So like, if he didn't take you seriously or respect your opinions when you're breaking down the film, which you do as good as anyone or better than anyone, then it's, you know, I think it's a little bit of a different story. So,
yeah. And it's social media, right? 15-20 years ago doesn't spread, you know, like it did. Right. So.
Okay. Well, I came on the podcast the next week and I was complaining because I'm like, Dan doesn't follow me on Twitter. I want to know how he saw this tweet because I purposely didn't tag you on the tweet because I'm like, I'm not going to put at Dan Orlovsky when the guy's getting knocked. Like, I, you know, I was trying to like be respectful and he replied. And I'm like, but I'm like, how did he see this? I didn't mean to cause a shitstorm here. I was trying to be respectful.
It got sent to me a lot very quickly.
All right, before I let you go, we got to discuss some food things because this is sort of part of having fun, letting people know what you're about. You've become this poster boy for bad food takes. I loved when I did some research before the podcast, GQ referred to you as the weirdo king of ESPN. I hope your wife has that on the refrigerator, little magnet with that headline on the refrigerator at home.
Honestly, I think it's two things. One, I am very much so just genuinely me. I understand that I'm weird to some people. I'm very simple. Like I'm a very simple person in my life as well. You know, like when Shay the other day was like, I'm consistent after the basketball game, you know, with everything. I'm just simple. I'm a very simple person. Yeah. So I think that, you know, gets a life of his own.
The weirdo king of ESPN. So here's what I want to do. I'm just going to throw out some foods at you. And I just want to get your take on some things, and we'll see how weird it gets. All right.
I'll be honest.
Pizza. Let's start with this. Do you like pizza?
Absolutely adore pizza.
Okay. Now, what is the preferred way of, what's your like go to? Do you get like the Sicilian? You get the regular? Are there toppings?
Yeah.
Give me like a
regular, you know, relatively regular. I'd probably lean a little thin crust, but regular. To be honest with you, I know a ton of difference with the Sicilian, the deep crust. Like, no, just regular.
Well, Sicilian
pizza.
Sicilian is square and thick. Regular is round, triangle.
Yeah, okay. Right. So regular. the vegetables on it are disgusting and all that. Like, I'll, you know, maybe like my favorite pizza in the world is from Colony Pizza in Fairfield, Connecticut, and it's hot oil and sausage. So I'll do occasionally like a pepperoni or something like that. I do like a white pizza, chicken cutlet pizza, but no vegetables or anything like that.
Do you have a favorite pizza place in the city in Manhattan?
I don't think I've ever been in New York City for like a specific pizza dinner. I've tried to go in.
Dan. Can someone at ESPN take Dan to Joe's Pizza, please? Can I take you one day to Joe's Pizza?
Can we
go to Joe's one day?
I'm there next Friday.
Oh, my God.
Next Friday.
Okay.
There next Friday.
We got to get Dan to Joe's Pizza. Oh, my God. All right. Ice cream. Do you like ice cream?
Love ice cream. Don't eat it a ton, just because I know it's
preferred flavor. Do you do any? What would you put on it? Nothing.
Two things. The people who order fruit flavored ice cream, that's weird. Just eat fruit, guys. Two, vanilla. I got nothing for you. Like, why even get it? It's literally plain. Mint chocolate chip is my favorite. I love anything that has like a chocolate in it. I don't do nuts in ice cream or whatnot. So mint chocolate chip, a cookies and cream, a double fudge brownie, something like that.
So a strawberry ice cream, you're not doing.
Why? Just have strawberries.
Well, I'm not a big straw. I you know what I like? I don't know if you count this as a fruit. I don't think it's, well, I guess it would be a fruit. I like cherry vanilla. You ever have cherry vanilla ice cream? Carvel.
I love cherries. I think Ben and Jerry's has a great, like Cherry Garcia, I think, where it's cherries and dark chocolate, because I love dark chocolate.
Okay. Now, I think I read in the GQ article that called you the weirdo king of ESPN, you detest the greatest candy of all time, which is the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
No, I don't detest it. I just think it's wildly overrated. Like, if I have them frozen in my house at home right now. I had one last night. I like a frozen dark chocolate Reese's peanut butter cup. I don't like milk chocolate that much. And I think that everyone's like, oh my gosh, this is the greatest candy. No, it's not. Kit Kat is way better.
Okay. Where do you stand on like a steakhouse? Do you like to go to a nice steakhouse?
Love steak. Love a good steakhouse.
How do you get the steak cooked?
Medium.
Okay. All right. All right. You're bouncing back.
Now, my wife will butterfly it. My wife will butterfly and well done it. But I'm pretty predictable when I go to a steakhouse as well. Like, I'll get a Caesar salad, no anchovies. I'll get a filet. And then the sides are going to be probably something to do with the potato, as long as there's not like a bunch of weird stuff in it. Some French fries, something like that.
That's a good take. I have no issues with any of that take. But you know, in the Caesar salad, they put the anchovies in the dressing that you don't see. It's like mashed up in there.
Yeah, as long as I don't see it, man. That's just like, it's not there. You know, it's not there.
Give me the number one food that if you ate it, you would vomit and throw up and want to just die. Mine is ketchup.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. When we were in Germany, I had salmon souffle. Do you know Charlie Yuk from NFL Network? So Charlie made me do that. I wanted to get into a fizzle up. So that, and also last week on a golf trip with some buddies, they made me try oysters. They were god awful.
Didn't do it for you.
Oh my gosh. Awful. Texture. Taste.
That's okay. All right. That one's not too bad. But we have to get you to a New York City pizza place.
That's done, man.
This is just, I cannot believe you've never been. We got to fix that one. All right.
Done.
I appreciate you coming on. One of the busiest people in all of sports. ESPN. What do you have specific days? Let me I mean, we know you're on Get Up.
I'm going on in 4 minutes.
Oh, Jesus. Go ahead. All right. Appreciate it, Dan. Be well. Take care. Thanks for doing this. All right. Take care. All right. Joining me now, as he does every week, from WFAN Radio in New York, SNY TV in New York, my buddy Sal Licata, who's getting ready to move. Sal, yes. How are we doing?
Can you believe it? 2 weeks, I think we're away from. Yeah, 2 weeks actually from Friday.
We're still on pace.
Yeah, for now. Yeah, who knows? All right. Anything could happen.
I'm glad we're on pace. The people are worried.
We're on pace, but like, we're not even. The house isn't packed up. It's like, it's just, it's a nightmare dealing with the people who are working on the new house. I can't wait for this nightmare to be over. It went from one disaster situation to another. I can't deal with it. There's too much.
There it is. And there it is. And wait till, and when you move, especially you moving houses, like you think you're done and you're never done. Like you're going to be bitching and moaning for weeks and weeks and weeks.
Right. I'm hoping it doesn't only get worse, but I have a fear that it might.
It'll get worse and then it'll get better. That's how it goes.
Thanks.
So you, on this podcast 2 weeks ago, when I had Greg Giannotti on, and Giannotti joined us for Train of Thoughts. It was the three of us doing Train of Thoughts, which I got good feedback on. You said that you did not know until very recently that Donald Trump was running for president.
Right.
So when the news came out on Tuesday about Aaron Rodgers, the first thing I had to do was text Sal. And I said, I just have to ask, do you know who RFK is? And you wrote back and you said, no. And I got to be honest, that was the only answer I was expecting.
Should I actually know who he is?
I think if you're an adult, you should know that he is going to be a third party. He's trying to run for a third. Well, you should know him for one reason. He's married to Cheryl from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Oh, see, I know Cheryl.
And you should know that in November, it's going to be Trump versus Biden. And Robert Kennedy Jr. is going to also be running as a third party candidate because he's not a Democrat. He's not a Republican.
He'll waste his time and everybody else. Yeah. Obviously, I know who Biden is. I know who Trump is. I assume that Kennedy was like John Kennedy's son or something. I know JFK. I know RFK. He's one of the. Is he the one that dated Elaine Bennett? Like, there's many Kennedys out there that I'm aware of. Yeah,
that's John. That's in that was in the masturbation episode when she was out, and then they go, "Oh, John." No, I think that his cousins. They're cousins.
All right. Well, whatever. Yeah.
Okay, so have you learned who he is in the last 24 hours?
Not really, he's 70 and he's going to run for president with either Jesse the Body Ventura or Aaron Rodgers as his running mate.
Okay, so that's what you need to know. You've got the gist of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrote this today and I honestly believe this. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to accept the position of his running mate. But I think if he did, it's the greatest fountain of content that's ever been produced in the history of sports media.
If Rodgers runs for vice president.
A current NFL quarterback running on a ticket? We've never seen it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think if I prefer Jesse the Body. Like, I know
he's been in politics. He was a governor.
I understand that, but he still, went from wrestler to politician.
Right.
I think
my mind being blown by that happened years ago.
Right.
I'm just imagining Rodgers taking snaps on a Sunday afternoon against the Bills while he's vice president.
Could he actually, I'm not even kidding. I don't think the answer is yes, but could he actually do both?
Well, then hit Robert Kennedy Jr. has no chance to win, no chance. So it would be fascinating. I mean, I don't see how he can do both. How can he do both? Being a vice president.
He has no chance, period, or no chance if Rodgers is on the ticket and playing football?
No chance, period. It doesn't matter who is. No chance,
right.
Period.
Right, okay.
Like, the third-party candidates get, like, 1% or 2% of the vote. Like, they have no, they don't win any electoral college. Like, they don't. Right. There's no chance. But.
He'd probably get my vote, honestly. Not to get political, but.
Well, I think you just summed up every single problem with America. 24 hours ago, you didn't know who he was, and now you're saying you'd vote for him. So what
but
more
do you know
need?
Why? Do you know why?
Do I know why what?
Why I'd vote for him.
Because you like Aaron Rodgers?
No. Well, no, I do, but that's not why. I mean, come on, Jimmy. I'm not ridiculous. Although, you shouldn't put that past me. You're right. Because he's not one of the other two.
Well, again.
I've had my fill. I mean, come on. I'm not that. No, I couldn't tell you a lot about either. I'm done with both for different reasons.
Okay. So Sal, RFK has Sal's vote. That's what we've learned.
It could be him. It could be whoever is just not them.
Well, Aaron Rodgers will be happy to hear that.
Yeah.
There you go. You should tweet him and say, you know, go Aaron, VP.
What I'd really like is Jesse the Body Ventura to run for president with Rodgers as his running mate. Now that's a combination.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm just trying to think, like, if there's even a one, I guess there isn't, but like, even if there's like a, if there is a 1% chance that Aaron Rodgers would retire so he can go be the running mate, would be like the greatest story in the history of sports.
Yeah, no way. By the way, I don't even believe this story. I believe this is a RFK leak.
Well, it's not an RFK leak. He's the one who gave the quote. RFK gave the quote.
Right. So there's, right. This is from RFK's side. Not Aaron Rodgers. Right. I'm sure they discussed it. I don't think Rodgers said, hey, I'm going to be on your ticket. Rodgers wants to play.
Oh, no. I think Aaron Rodgers told RFK to leak it so he can be getting all the attention.
Yeah, you and I disagree.
Aaron Rodgers 101.
No, you and I disagree.
Well, it has nothing to do with disagree. If Aaron Rodgers could have made this story go away the second it came out, all he had to do was go on Twitter and say, I'm going to be the Jet quarterback. I'm not joining any political ticket. That's all he had to do. But here we are 24 hours later. He hasn't done that. Why? Because he's in heaven right now. Why wouldn't he go on Twitter and say it's not? I mean, he has a Twitter account. All he has to do is go on Twitter. All he has to do is say. Now, he endorsed RFK last week. He put out a tweet last week with a video and endorsed Robert Kennedy, which is fine. He's allowed to do that. I have no issue with that. He should do that. You should endorse it. So if he could do that, then why can't he come out on Twitter and just say, hey, saw the New York Times story, honored that Robert would think of me as his running mate, but I'm the Jets quarterback in 2024.
What do you think would be more effective, that tweet or waiting to go on McAfee?
Well, for his purposes of just getting all the attention he could possibly get, he'll wait as long as he can to dispute it. Like, yeah, I haven't seen that he's not on McAfee today.
No, I know. I'm just saying maybe he's going to go on there. So I have no idea what's going on.
If he was annoyed by that story, he has the power and the ability to end it in one tweet.
Right.
But he doesn't. I think he's doing this because he loves the attention. And I also think he did this for RFK to get attention. Like, I think he's like, this is a big hole. Like, he's saying, okay, I'm not going to dispute this. Let this play out, because then there are people like you who you weren't familiar with him. Now you're familiar with him. So like, the plan is working. Why end it now? So I think they both love what's going on. And again, I can't do the Aaron Rodgers is the victim here, because all he has to do is go on Twitter and say, Robert said he, because here's the thing, where this did not come from Rodgers. This came from RFK Jr. So, and the Times didn't make it up, because they got the quote directly from RFK Jr. So all Aaron Rodgers has to do is, all he has to do is say, Robert, I appreciate Robert saying he would consider me for a role, but I'm a quarterback. I'm an NFL player. I have a contract with the Jets. Let's go get him in 2024. That's all he has to do.
And maybe he will in due time.
Yeah, because right now he wants to get the attention. Why else wouldn't he do that?
Well, you know,
what would be?
who knows what he's doing? I don't know. I mean, why did he come out right away?
Well, would you be happy if you were a fan of a team and the quarterback's trying to maybe get into politics?
Right, but also, like, to your point, he obviously likes this guy, so he doesn't want to do damage to him, but he also could
that wouldn't be doing damage to say, I can't be vice president, I have to play football.
Right, but to me, it's ridiculous that his name would be even brought up, so... unless he comes out and says, "Hey, I'm actually going to be running with this guy. I'm retiring," which I'm not buying. I'm just going to wait on Rodgers to make his statement, and I believe that it's going to be one of not distance from the candidate, but distance from the idea of him running.
Right, but he could do that at any time.
Right, right. So why do it now? Just because people are clamoring for it, or people are going nuts? The season doesn't start for a while. Well, we're in the off season.
Well, because this is what he's going to do. Because when he does address, he's going to be like, "Oh, I can't believe what the media did to me. All they did was run with this story, and they had me retiring, and I just can't believe the way they did this." And typical media, blah blah blah. Well, you could stop at any time you want, but then he gets to be the victim. That's the whole game.
When he does do that, there's going to be a spin on it again. Just like, "Oh, Rodgers can't get enough of himself. He goes on McAfee show to deny rumors of him." You know. I do think the media's got an agenda against him.
Well, the game is get attention and then act like the victim. That's the game. He does it with every single thing. So, like, this wouldn't be any different. If you don't want to talk about this, you don't have to, because it's your station. I don't want you ever coming on here to talk about your station. But Tiki versus Saquon Barkley. If you sign a $39 million contract, why are you on Twitter arguing with people?
I read what you wrote about it.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I read what you wrote about it. And while I love Saquon Barkley and wish him the best, like, I think he did a great thing taking the most money from the Eagles, I thought him responding to Tiki was just unnecessary and immature.
Oh, like, what are you doing? Go enjoy your new contract. And I'm not going to rip him for this, because we've all done it. I've done it. You've done it. Every single person on social media has done it. He saw the tweets. He saw the headlines. He didn't watch the clip. If you watch the clip, you know Tiki wasn't serious.
Right.
So you got to – I think Saquon gets dinged for that a little bit.
Even I was like, damn, because I didn't see it initially, and I read the quotes, and I was like, that is so not Tiki. Like, I've done shows with Tiki. Right. I've gotten to know Tiki. He is as nice a human being as I've ever met. Almost sometimes to a fault. Like, we're like, "Tiki, come on, get on somebody. You're radio host now." So I give him credit for saying his strong opinion. But if you did watch it or listen to it, there's no way. And if you 100%. Know Tiki, and by the way, Saquon knows Tiki. If you know, like, they know each other. So if you know him, there's no way you would think that was meant at a personal, "Oh, you're dead to me," like, from Tiki being a fanboy. He's not. He's representing how a lot of fans felt with Saquon Lee.
Right. He was doing sort of an imitation of the New York sports fan who gets mad when someone signs with a rival. It's, you know, I thought Saquon looked so bad in that entire mess.
Yeah, Saquon should have just ignored it. Like, you know, come on.
Right.
And then to double down and not only acknowledge it, but to say that you were always hating on me, which is just not true at all, is ridiculous. 100%.
I know. Totally ridiculous. The news broke, I believe, after we taped last week. So I never weighed in on Good Morning Football moving, which is interesting because they're in the same building as you. SNY, where Sal works Monday through Friday, 6 o'clock at night, Baseball Night in New York, is the host of. Good Morning Football is in that studio. And now the show is going to be, they're going to go on hiatus for like the summer and then move to LA because the NFL has studios in LA, I guess by SoFi Field or whatever. And what I just want to focus on for a minute is the comical nature of the NFL here. Like, they're moving the show because they don't want to pay the rent in the SNY building where you guys are. Now, the NFL Network is a separate budget than the NFL owners. Like, the owners get, like, you know, whatever it is, $100 billion from TV contracts or whatever. That's the owner's money. It doesn't go. But I don't care what the breakdown is of, like, what's the NFL Network budget, what the NFL owners make. Goodell's making $60 million. The salary cap is it. Okay. I can't listen to the NFL act like we need to hold a telethon for them. And they're going to move this successful, super successful show from New York to LA. So you have to assume not all the hosts are going. They all live in New York. They all have families. They all have young kids. Jamie Erdahl is pregnant right now. And they're going to do this because they don't want to pay rent for a studio. The NFL, which prints money, that is hard to take.
Yeah, I mean, I do understand it from the business aspect, like why pay a different amount, whatever it may be, to do a show in New York when we just have everything under one umbrella. It doesn't make it right. I understand it. As long as, to me, and I don't know the details, I mean, I followed along by reading your column, like I'm right, hoping and assuming that everybody on the show has their job if they move. Not saying it's easy, but as long as they don't get...
Yeah, well...
Go ahead. You have an update?
So what I was told from the NFL, all four hosts have been invited to continue being hosts and move to LA and do the show, which, by the way, okay, they'd have to be on the air at 5 a.m. local time, but that's a whole other issue.
Well, that's a different story, because that's, as somebody who's done overnights for an extended period, that's essentially an overnight. Like, you to be on right, the air by 5, right? You've got
to
be...
They have to be there at 3.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say up at 3 the latest. I mean, right, I used to roll out of bed. Shit. I mean, you know, some one time I slept through the alarm, woke up and did the show an hour later. But you, like, TV is a different animal. You got to get there. There's a long, you know, it's a long produced show, the makeup, the dress, all that stuff. Yeah, it takes hours of prep probably before the show. I don't know. You would know better than I would talking to those guys. But that's a brutal time slot.
So the show currently airs from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m., which would have meant a 4 a.m. start time when they go to L.A. But the show's going to get cut to 2 hours. It's going to be from 8 to 10. So even 8 to 10, cutting that first hour, they're on the air at 5 a.m. L.A. time. So, like, they have to be there, I would assume, no later than 3, right? You figure?
Yeah. I mean, like I said, you might be able to get
3:30,
there an hour before.
3:30.
Yeah. Depends what they want to do for prep, what they have to do, how long it takes to get, you know, the makeup ready and the hair and all that stuff. Brutal.
I just don't like that. I don't like that the move has been made without any assurances of who's going. You don't want to mess with that cast. It's a great, great cast. It's a great show. And you just, it seems inevitable that it's going to be messed with. And that's the bummer of it.
You're saying because you think that all four would not want to.
I would be shocked if all four went. I'd be shocked. Just, you know, like, McCourty doesn't need to go. He does games right, for CBS.
Right.
And he lives in Jersey. He went to Rutgers. He's got kids. He's going to, you know. I don't know. What else? Will you care, watch, get into the NCAA tournament at all? I say no. I mean, for probably, you, I say no. For me, I will. But okay.
Probably a little bit, only because of St. John's, the local angle. I've been following them a little bit this year. But outside of that, I don't know, man. You and I used to be into it. We've talked about this over the years. I don't even enjoy filling out the brackets anymore. It doesn't do anything for me. It used to be fun working with Mike and Chris, and they'd get pizza, and it'd be a big thing, and it'd be fun pools. Now it's just not like that. So without those fun pools – and the camaraderie and watching those games that otherwise I wouldn't give a shit about, I just, it doesn't do anything for me. I have no rooting interest.
I haven't filled out a bracket in probably 7 or 8 years.
But you're betting the games individually.
All right, we don't need to, need to bring that up.
Well, I'm actually so asking, like, is that how you, because if not, do you care course, about well, Dakota State?
No, here's what I did today. Woke up. And I saw that there was a game on at 11:30 in the morning. I said, okay, it's Wednesday at 11:30. How do you not bet it? Blindly bet it. Got crushed.
Ah, there you go. Yeah. Blind bets.
So, yeah.
I'll be looking forward. Like, I'm a big storyline guy. So I'll, like, Sister Jean and all that. I get into all that.
Throwing the bait out there. I love it. Good job. I don't even know who the number one team in the country is. So I don't even know what the storylines are. Did you watch Curb?
I think I'm almost caught up. What was the last one? I saw a fish stock.
The last one that this week was with Susie and the Billboard. You probably didn't see it if
No, I might not. I think I started Lori, to watch it.
Lori Loughlin was on.
Oh, no, no. She's okay. on it.
Bad job by Sal.
Yeah,
she was on this past week.
I watched two this week. Actually, on Monday, I watched two, and I didn't get to watch the final one yet. I think it was Two Behind. Now I got to check out the most.
Are you watching something else that Curb keeps getting put on the back burner every week?
Do you want to know the truth to that?
Oh, no. What?
Love is Blind has taken over my life.
Oh, good grief. Is that on Netflix?
It is. Yes. I've heard a lot about it. I was like, you know what?
Is that the one that's hosted? Is that the one hosted by Nick Lachey and his wife?
Yes. Yes.
That's all I know. Okay.
My wife and I have took a deep dive into it just this season and binged 12 episodes, which is probably more than 12 hours total in the last 3 days or 4 days.
Wait a second. So you're binging the current season?
Yes.
Now, is it one of those things that all the episodes go out at once, or they put one out a week?
I don't think they're all out at once. As a matter of fact, the finale, the reunion, which I cannot wait for, I think that came out today as we record this, but it was not available. I think it's like they drop a couple at a time, maybe six at a time. I'm not 100% sure.
So they had this season, 12 episodes, and you figured, okay, let's watch this whole season, and then you watched the whole episode, the whole season, the 12 episodes over 3 days. That's
or
what
whatever. Yeah, we started this weekend. I finished last night on the train ride home. So I screwed you because I didn't watch Curb on the way home.
Okay, but you said you're watching it with your wife. Now you're telling me you watch it on the train.
We watched the whole thing this weekend. Obviously, with me working, we couldn't connect, and I wanted to watch it so bad that she actually started the 12th episode without me. So I was like, all right, forget it. Just watch it, and I'll watch it on the train on the way home.
All right. So you're watching Love.
It is
Love is Blind over.
It's a Curb. Great. No, I watched Curb. I watched two episodes of Curb. I just didn't pick up the last one. I don't know why, and I just haven't gotten around to it. I'll watch it tonight, which is no good for you or us, but I'll catch up this week.
Exactly. Yeah. Wonderful.
Oh,
I wanted to talk about Lori Loughlin.
So I want to watch the one with Lori Loughlin, but I finally saw the one with Richard Lewis, and now I know what you meant. Where he did not look well. You know.
Yeah. 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 The last episode was a little rough. Yeah.
I don't know if I feel that way because of we know what happened or just because he did look a little rough, but he didn't look great.
Yeah. Yeah. But he is so funny on that show. I mean, just all those clips that came out after he passed away. Oh my God. He was so funny on that show. There was a great one. It sort of reminds me a little bit. It reminded me a little bit of you and me in a way. We're not this blatant about it, but there was an episode where Richard and Larry make a plan to go to lunch. And then Larry went there. Richard didn't show up. And Larry's like, why didn't you show up? He's like, well, there was no confirmation. And Larry's like, the plan is the confirmation. Richard was like, I'm not going to get up, get dressed, and go somewhere without a confirmation. And Larry's like, but that is the confirmation. And they argue about if you're supposed to confirm. I saw that scene recently. I was in tears. Yeah. It was so good. So, all right, Sal, we will see you next week. Be careful if you decide to bet the tournament.
No, yeah. Buyer beware. Nobody knows anything about it, yet they bet like animals. Good luck.
That's why the casinos are standing in Vegas.
Yeah.
All right, Sal. Take care.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. My many, many thanks to Dan Orlowski. Had fun talking to him. Sal Licata, as always, every week. If you missed any recent episodes of SI Media with Jimmy Chana, go in the archives, check them out. ESPN legend Bob Lee was on last week. Greg Giannotti from WFAN in New York and CBS Sports Network. Boomer and Geo Show was on 2 weeks ago. So subscribe to SI Media with Jimmy Trainor. Listen to those pods. Leave a review on Apple. All right, that wraps it up. We'll see you next week. Stay safe and take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.